That's the music of Dr. Deborah Strowman, and she joins us Fridays at 5:30 to talk sports. This is a very special edition of Strowman on Sports. First of all, because I'm hosting it. Second of all, because Dr. Strowman has been abroad as part of the Global Sports Mentoring Program. We're excited to have a conversation about that. First of all, Deb, thank you so much for making time this afternoon.
Thank you. It is good to be in the United States. It's good to be in Chapel Hill in the midst of our smoke storm, but it looks like it's lightening up for us. It's not as bad, but definitely a wonderful trip to Benin, West Africa.
Definitely want to dive into that. I also just have to mention this because, believe it or not, this is the first on-air conversation that we've had together, so I'm very excited to get this conversation going. We start with you having been in Benin for how long were you there total?
It was approximately 13, 14 days, if you consider the flight, which is quite long. It can be anywhere from, I'd say, 15 to 18 hours to get there.
So this Global Sports Mentoring Program, it's a program that aims to connect international leaders with American executives in the sports sector for mentorship that promotes inclusion and gender equality. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you got involved in this organization initially and why it's such an important thing.
Absolutely. So as I tell my students, it's not what you know, it's not who you know, it's who knows you on a favorable basis, helping them to understand that you can collect all the business cards and smile at people and take pictures, but you want to build a favorable relationship with people so that when you're not around, they can advocate for you, they can connect you, they can drop your name as needed. And so in the sports world, I've been very, very blessed with my life at UVA, my life at UNC, my life at the ACC, the NCAA, and Val Ackerman, who is the commissioner of the Big East. She was involved with this program, I think, a year or two before me. But it is the State Department, and it is their way to give back. And so we invite approximately 18 young women from around the world to the United States to have an immersion with a sport leader. And we work on their action plan, as in the work that they are going to do in their particular home country. And then, of course, we learn from them. And so in 2016, I was selected, and I hosted a young lady from Benin, Pamela Akplogin, and she actually came here to Chapel Hill, UNC, and I took her all around the state. She met a number of people on campus, from Chancellor Folt to professors to coaches. I remember I took her over to men's basketball office, and she got a chance to meet Coach Williams. I just traveled and explained how we operate, how we do things, knowing, of course, that Chapel Hill and UNC is very, very unique in terms of our love for sports. And then about 2 years ago, they started reaching out to mentors and said, would you be interested in going to visit your mentee in their home country? And so the pandemic hit, some other things were going on, and I checked back in with them last year, and they said, absolutely, we would love for you to go to Benin and visit with Pamela and catch up with her. And so that's what I did about 2 weeks ago.
So tell me about Benin. I don't think I know anyone who's been to Benin.
Well, I have been to South Africa as a guest with the NBA with their first World Africa game. So Johannesburg was a special place, but very, very much like the United States, a big city. But I always wanted to go to West Africa. And so Benin is the home of a lot of things in terms of a lot of things that have happened on the continent of Africa in terms of independence, in terms of freedom, in terms of leaders trying to make a difference, to make things better for their residents, their citizens. And so Benin, some people might know it as Dahomey. And if you've watched the blockbuster movie, The Woman King, with Viola Davis, you know the story in the sense of the Amazon women warriors. And Benin, I guess I could say Dahomey, was renamed Benin a number of years ago. But it is very metropolitan, and yet it is very rural and country as well. And I probably visited maybe a third of the country, didn't get a chance to go too far north. But it is the embassy, United States Embassy, is beautiful. In fact, most of the money is near the water, near the coast. And so that's where you see the beautiful embassies. And I'll make note that it is was a French colony, and the French embassy looks like a fortress. But beautiful artwork. I went to the port of no return, which was considered the most, I guess you could say, the biggest enslavement port, where Africans were kidnapped and sold and sent to other countries. But I went to that port area. It was just an amazing trip.
So we're visiting with Dr. Deb Strohman, and she's talking about a trip that she was on to Benin as part of the Global Sports Mentoring Program. And for folks who don't know the geography of Benin, it is on the part of Africa where the coast is southerly facing, and then it's actually a fairly narrow country with a lot of northern areas that don't have coastline. And you answered the question that I was going to ask next. I assume that most of the population, and as you said, most of the money is down there on the coast. And you said you got to travel around a little bit. Is there a huge difference of how far off the coast do you get before it starts feeling like a different sort of place?
Wow. I would say maybe about 2 hours, 3 hours headed north. It is between Nigeria and Togo. But just some really, really amazing places. I will start off and say that I did go to the palace where the Homi Amazon women warriors actually, where they lived and worked. There are two palaces in this major kingdom area that are open to the public. They've turned it into a public museum, so to speak. So I was able to walk the grounds in that same area with that king and those warriors, so to speak. I visited a town called Ganvi. It's a stilt village, as in it was a village that was founded in 1717 by Africans who were trying to escape from enslavement. And so they actually built a community on water. And since then, it's grown. There's more than 40,000 people that live there today. I went to a place called Ouida, which had a number of amazing, amazing sites, from a sacred forest to a python temple. And I actually had a python around my neck. I just was in the mood to be bold and be risk-taking. I went to, a slave market. And again, the door of no return. Porto Novo is the capital of Benin, so I was able to visit the royal palace, where what we would call the Congress, that location, the assembly. Had some fun in the countryside with a small little community called Anjara, and they're known as the City of Drums. It's a small little village, but I had the opportunity. For someone who is now taking djembe lessons, as in African drumming lessons, I had the opportunity to see them actually create a drum from the trunk of the tree being cut to being able to carve out the core, and then to see them put it together. And then the little ones, ages from 2 years old to 8 years old, were singing for me and dancing. That was a lot of fun. But just overall an amazing trip. I don't want to lose sight of the sport aspect of this. Pamela is a sport leader. She's now working in Paris, and so she met me back home in Benin. But she has a wonderful program helping girls and helping them get fit, helping them to do more around athletics and sport, and then helping them to be entrepreneurs as well. And so being able to sit down and listen to her progress and to pour into her and share, that was rewarding as well.
It sounds absolutely like a trip of a lifetime, and there's a lot to unpack for me just listening to it. But for you, having been there for that long, now that you've had a little bit of time back, what are the biggest takeaways from the trip?
I'm actually in the process of writing an article about that. One of the things that I learned is that I am very American, and as much as I am grounded in my blackness and being an African American, being over there, having to tell myself to slow down, having to tell myself to be Not that I don't accept, you know, various cultures, but to be really mindful of not to be obnoxious jerk American. I just wanted things to happen faster. I also made note of, for many parts of the country that I saw, and I saw it in Johannesburg as well, is that Africa is struggling with being more Western, as in being more white culture. And yet at the same time, we've got many Black Americans, myself including, trying to become more African, whether it's our clothing, whether it's where our hair and our connectedness to African music. So it's interesting to see that dynamic of the two basically loving on each other's culture, but yet trying to stay true to who we are. I also saw that they are very, very hardworking people. I saw people up at 6 a.m. working hard and smart. And those same people are working at midnight. And I discussed this with a number of residents of natives, and they said it's because we don't have a lot of money, so we work from sunup to sundown, and we don't stop. So just the resilience and the dedication to their craft and to try to make, you know, a better life for themselves. So those were a few key takeaways.
We're talking with Dr. Deb Stroman about her recent trip to Benin. And I've got one other question, and then I'll open it up to you for anything else that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to. How rewarding or motivating was it to get to spend time with Pamela and see the work that she's been doing after having spent that time with her several years ago as in sort of a mentorship role?
Well, that was the biggest high of the trip. And to see her, 7 years, 2016 to 2023.
Oh, wow.
Young people really grow up a lot during that time period. So she wasn't my little sister anymore. I mean, she's a grown woman. So, of course, we talked about things that adult women talk about, whereas before we didn't even touch that at all. So that was beautiful. And then to see her professionalism and how she's grown. She shared some very wonderful, warm things to me and talking about how when she came to the United States, she was not very confident, and that the time spent with me and being in Chapel Hill helped to transform her life. She went back to Benin much more confident, being more bold as a young leader, and then to see that in action. She speaks many languages, unlike us in America, where we're lucky to speak two fluently. She speaks about 5 or 6 different languages. And then I'll say one of the biggest highs was I've always wanted to have an African name. And so she comes from a line of one of the kings. And so she was able to connect with her great grandfather, who's a chief. And he agreed to meet with me. And so I was given an African name. They wanted me to stay longer to do the big ceremony where all the villagers come and dancing and music and the ceremony. But I wasn't able to extend my trip. But I do have an African name now. It's called Mawisi Zeponsi. Mawisi meaning gift from God. And he told me that I have a very, very strong soul. And then the Zeponsi means sacred woman from the sacred river, which is very special to them. And so that has meaning as well. So it was just a great trip and so glad to see how well she's doing.
Deb, we are almost out of time. Is there anything that you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
Well, two things I'll say. Number one, I wish that more people could travel. If you're blessed to be able to travel outside the United States, it changes your perspective. And in one way, it helps us to see that there's a lot of wonderful things going on across the world. People are happy and healthy, and they aren't all rushing to come to the United States. So we can learn from other cultures. The other thing I would say is that for as much as we complain and not happy with what the United States does, and certainly we have a lot to choose from, everything from how we're not addressing climate change to the immigration issues to racism and sexism. I mean, we can go down the list. But this trip helped me to better be appreciative of what our government does do. And our State Department has a number of wonderful, wonderful programs to support Americans going abroad to learning and also teaching. And so I'm very, very grateful to our country to have a program like this and to be able to participate.
Deb, outstanding stuff as always. I appreciate you being on back on our airwaves to share this with everybody. And I look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Thank you. Everybody have a great weekend.